You're listening to Decisive Point. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guests and are not necessarily those of the Department of the Army, the U.S. Army War College, or any other agency of the U.S. government. I'm talking with Ole Hukovsky, co-author of The Combat Path, Sustaining Mental Readiness in Ukrainian Soldiers, with James C. West, Joshua C. Morgenstein, Eugene F. Augustifer, David M. Benedek, Oleg Boyko, Robert J. Orsano, and Amy B. Adler. You can find the article in the summer 2024 issue of Parameters. Hukovsky is a Ukrainian military officer and psychiatrist. He's head of the Combat Stress Control Group in the military unit A4123 of the Armed Forces in Ukraine. Welcome to Decisive Point, Ole.
Thank you for invitation.
Give our listeners some context, please, about the Ukrainian perspective on the Russia-Ukraine war.
Listeners who are interested in that topic, probably they have a lot of information from the news. I don't think that I can add something unexpected. But as a person who lives in Ukraine and serving very close to front line and working with soldiers affected by the war every day, probably I can add some nuances about that. War is having full-scale invasion for almost 2.5 years, and to be honestly, fighting in this stage with troops from Russian Federation for at least 10 years. Like, war change, probably change a perception what is normal. Reality become very much oriented around survival. Very often it decreases the long-term planning. Especially on the front line, people enjoy small pleasures every day because, for example, coming back from the actions, they imagine how tasty food they will get for the dinner. And for many of them, they can even perceive that this can be the last dinner. So you live constantly on the edge. And in my opinion, it's exhausting from one point, but from another point, it's clarify very much what are the priorities in your life. You should enjoy life. You should see the beauty. You should create deep relationships with the people. So a lot of signs of post-traumatic growth I can also observe in the army.
Let's jump into your article now and talk about how can Western combat and operational stress control principles serve as a foundation for understanding the management of the stress.
It's always better to use some other experience in your practice. Since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, I became acquainted with Amy Adler and Robert Orsano and other folks. So I was developing my skills and my knowledge about psychological training, about psychological support in the militaries very fast. I was very lucky, and I'm lucky because I still continue to have regular discussion with my colleagues. I did not find good structured information in Ukraine literature. I would say eating big portions, I was eating a lot of information from US side. And I think you create very nice and very structured principles to use even in our reality, because your principles, they have roots more than centuries ago. So it's not like some fresh news. And I like this. They are very easy to remember, first of all, and they are very practical. For example, consulting the people or going to the units and having counseling there. I always keep in my mind that the more I will pay attention, the more I will make inputs now as fast as possible, the less it will take a burden for our state system. I hope it will prevent some long-term consequences of participation in the combat.
Tell us about combat path debriefing.
Yeah. I was investigating the literature. Amy shared a lot of information about Walter Reed debriefing they created some years ago. And it was one service trip when we were providing recovery during the decompression period in one brigade. And I realized that usually we have very short time for one small unit. After 2 days of being in very chaotic conversations with the unit members, like they complain about everything, you know, they were exhausted, they were angry, they were tired. Having this information about debriefing on the back of my mind, then I took this into practice, combining with some, I think, intuitive knowledge that I got from the contact with these unit members. First of all, I start asking them about their history, a history of their unit. Like the most people in the units, they were just newcomers to the military. So they were civilians who took a strong decision, mostly voluntary. They joined the army because we need to protect the enemy who is bigger than us, better equipped than us, and very cruel. This is the point. And I was asking about their history because then they can extend their perception of time. They can extend their perception of their identity, went out from, let's say, victim roles to warrior role, that they took decision. They took very brave decision. I was focusing very much about not only their personal history in this unit, but how the unit as a team was developing. And immediately I could see how energy was shifting in this unit when we start talking about strong battles in the history, about different parts of military training and how they were developing as a fighters. And this was very much more productive compared to just having a lot of complaints. During few weeks when we had this brigade on the recovery, I think I was able to shape more and more what does it mean, what then finished in the article as combat debriefing.
Do you have any concluding thoughts you'd like to share about this topic?
I was sharing and presenting this debriefing at one conference. Then also I was sharing with my friends. And today I got a message from one friend. She is voluntary working in one NGO. And they also very much involved with psychological training of militaries. And she like, oh, I'm using your model. I did not really share on Facebook, you know, with a lot of advertisement. Maybe I need to do so. I don't know. When I shared, my idea was that there can be one of the model. I don't think that this is perfect model that fits every context and every situation, but I describe what situation that can be beneficial using this model. For example, when you are a new professional in the unit or you come only for one time and this unit has some history behind, and then there are some contacts that can be applicable for this debriefing. And my friends, they working a lot with other brigades, and also they were working with the POV, prisoners of the war, and they created a similar model. For example, in the end, they put a very important question. If you are, let's say, don't have any model inside, and when you are a newcomer as a professional, it can be very good support for you. So you can use this model and then you can shape, orient according to your context. So the question is, how did you survive in the combat? What has helped you to survive in the combat? And my friends were asking this question again and again in different military units who came back from the combat. You are asking, so maybe strange question. They ask, because your experience is very valuable, and then I can take your experience, how did you survive, and I can give to the new units. And then your knowledge can become probably matter of life or death for other people. This question can be put somewhere in the questions and in faces. So I believe that, and any kind of debriefing, they as a living model, they should be as living models. So some elements should be added, depends on the context. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Ole, for making time to speak with me today.
You're welcome.
Listeners, you can download the article at press.armywarcollege.edu/parameters. Look for Volume 54, Issue 2. For more Army War College podcasts, check out Conversations on Strategy, SSI Live, Classic Dialogues, and A Better Peace.